Next on BYUSN, with spring football over now for BYU, which quarterback has the clear inside track to start? We'll discuss who we think would start if BYU were to play today. BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill gives us an insider look into where the Cougar defense improved the most this spring and if they need to add more in the portal.
Women's tennis stars Vova Huang and Maddie Smith join the program fresh off of wins against Baylor and TCU. And Top 5 Tuesday features the best Grand Slams from softball this season so far. There have been 7.
It's unbelievable to have even 5 at this juncture. It's been like 7 weeks of the season. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. We all survived April Fool's Day. Congratulations. I am Spencer Linton. He is the new Utah State Football Equipment Director, Jerem Jordan.
It's been a fun run with BYUSN. I now go to Logan. Just kidding. Utah State had a great April Fool's helmet joke. Embracing our Aggie roots, they said. Introducing a new helmet design for 2024. Clearly the cow culture is heavy here. Which, honestly, it feels like some Utah State fans actually would welcome
this. Yes.
As a real helmet.
There was a poll put out after by the same account, I believe, that said, what do you think, yes or no?
AKA USU football.
And like 85% from last I saw it were in favor of this.
Yes. Yeah.
And then a bunch of people were like, wait, these are actually good. Like, you should do
this.
They're
not. They're not good, but it would be funny.
89% was the final tally.
Wow.
89%.
It would be funny. Like, you are who you are. Yeah, come on.
What would the Cougar equivalent of that be?
Of that?
Like claw marks or something all over the place? I don't know.
Well, claw marks are kind
of
cool.
There's not like a distinguishing feature of a Cougar other than its color, which is gold. Like if BYU did like a gold helmet that had like Cougar fur like painted onto it or something. I was trying to think of the equivalent there, and I couldn't come up with one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cow spots, 89% in favor.
What would... Like, how do you capture tunnel singing on a helmet? How do you capture socks and sandals on a helmet?
No, that's not best. Not BYU.
Well, like the corny culture of your place. That's
okay.
What, like,
okay.
We're the Aggies. You could have like a piece of hay as well.
Stone, just put stone cold sober. Just write the word stone
it's
cold
just,
sober on
it's
the
just
helmet.
Root beer. Like, what? I don't know.
Submit your ideas. Hashtag BYUSN for a helmet that would match the cow spots edition on April Fool's from
that,
Utah State.
What would that be
for BYU?
Just the Book of Mormon on the side.
Ooh, that's pushing it. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Only 15 practices.
Yeah, that's the goal. Like, focus on yourself and develop yourself. Find ways to get better. Learn from everybody that's around you, everybody that goes before you, after you. Just try to learn from everybody.
Both those guys did a lot of good things this spring.
Oh, there's a quarterback battle still very much a brewing for BYU as they approach the 2024 college football season and year two in the Big 12. So let's play the hypothetical game. We like to do that here on BYU Sports Nation. Jerem, if...
We got shows to fill.
BYU played today, and I know that's a big if.
Who are they playing?
Who would you start at quarterback? Is it Jake Retzlaff or Gary Bohannon as of April 2nd?
If it was today, I think it'd be Jake Retzlaff because he knows the system more. Aaron Roderick has repeated that several times. But if it's on August 31st, I'm guessing that Gary Bohannon, with his experience in Power 5 and FBS, is going to win that battle. But I think it's going to be close. Like, obviously, both are capable, good players. Gary has a lot of experience, as chronicled by some of these numbers. So 33 FBS games played. Jake has 4, right? JC transferred first year last year. Touchdown per game is the one stat where Jake's a little higher. But again, volume is low. Interceptions per game, Gary lower. Yards per pass, significantly higher. QB rating, significantly higher. Jake had to play a tough schedule. We'll talk about that in a second. But, if it was today, I think it'd be Jake. But I'm going to guess that Gary Bohannon wins the battle by a hair. That doesn't mean Jake won't win it. It's just, I think experience will win out initially. But maybe Aaron values experience in this playbook more. We'll see, man.
And it doesn't matter necessarily who wins the starting job because we both think that both will start games in the upcoming season.
Who's starting game one?
Yes.
And then it's...
Who knows?
Game two.
Yeah, who knows?
It'd be the same guy you would think after Southern Illinois. But, like, after the second or third game, who knows? Yeah, injuries happen. Like, both are going to be used, man. I'd be shocked if the other doesn't play at all. That'd be shocking.
On April 2nd, yes, it's Jake Retzlaff. Logic reigns supreme here. He knows the playbook better. He's been around the program longer. He's worked with Aaron Roderick longer. He has 4 games of experience starting with this BYU team in the Big 12. And Gary Bohannon, the thing that works against him, yes, is he doesn't have the exposure that Jake does, but he's been sitting out for a long time.
Exposure to the playbook specifically of BYU?
Yeah. Yeah. And within the program, not to say that he can't get caught
Grimes,
up
right?
to speed. Yeah, there's some ties there, and
similarities.
Some of the verbiage is similar.
Enough to where BYU had to change their verbiage against Baylor.
Yes. Yeah, because
that's similar.
They
apparently
could pick off play calls. Yeah. Now, hear me out. I think a lot of BYU fans are like, well, you wouldn't have brought in Gary Bohannon if you didn't think that he was going to be the starter. He was a starter for Baylor when they won the Big 12 championship. Come on, it's going to be Gary Bohannon. Now, again, hear me out. Jake Retzlaff, in the 4 starts that he made, Jerem, were against the second place, third place, fourth place, and tied for fourth place team in the Big 12. So you're talking about all top 4 teams in the Big 12. That's who Jake Retzlaff had to start against. Oh, and 2 of them are on the road at West Virginia and at Oklahoma State.
The other was Texas, the first place.
It's unbelievable.
That he didn't face.
There was no Cincinnati for Jake Retzlaff.
Texas Tech?
No. There was none of that.
Those are the 2 wins for BYU.
Yeah, and even if you expanded out to teams that were not great that BYU didn't play against, there was no Houston on BYU's schedule last year for Jake Retzlaff to ease into things with. Yeah. He just got thrown into the fire. And how close was BYU to winning 2 of those games?
Yeah.
BYU fans are mad that BYU didn't win those 2 games against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And unfortunately, Retzlaff is kind of at the center that he takes the brunt of that specifically
because
against Oklahoma because of the pick 6 that gets returned 100 yards. BYU scores, they're going to win that game. Like, momentum's on your side. You're home. Oklahoma's on their heels. They got their backup quarterback in. Come on. Like, BYU's going to win that game. And so I just want to be fair to Jake in that while it wasn't great, 0-4, he played top 4 teams in the Big 12. There was nothing easy about that for him to have to step into and, like, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, go win some games, man. It'll be all right.
It wasn't just his first exposure to BYU or the Big 12. It was in FBS.
Yes.
He was a JUCO guy, first time in FBS. So, yeah, that's tough. He didn't have any tune-ups whatsoever. He didn't have Sam Houston. Southern Utah.
What can Jake Retzlaff do given a full offseason in preparation? Because he believes that he is the guy. And maybe he comes out and he is the starter against Southern Illinois and he looks fantastic. And BYU puts up 48 points and they win 48-7.
Now, if they go 14-0 again,
then you're in trouble.
There's issues.
Then you're in trouble.
You got to put a 40 spot. Come on.
So, again, I get the impression from BYU fans that I interact with and that I hear from on social media that, oh, well, it's going to be Gary because of what he's done in the past. Jake.
That could be the case.
He needs a fair shake here. And so to be fair to the situation, I wanted to point out, like, look what he faced last year within the Big 12. There was no cupcake for him, not even close. I almost wish we could have seen him against a Cincinnati or a Houston or somebody that was not Oklahoma State. Or against Iowa State, or at West Virginia, like that's tough.
Yeah, it's hard to beat a team for BYU that wins 8 or more games that season. BYU wins 27% of those games in the Satake era. If that team that year ends up with 8 wins,
okay, so 1 out of every 4, 27%. 1 out of every 4.
13-35. So last year, 3 of those 4 that you mentioned, those were teams that won 8 or more. It's hard, right? Only 13 wins in 8 seasons. It's like 1.5 per season. It's very hard. So we'll see what happens, man. But BYU isn't playing a game today. They're going to have, off-season conditioning and throwing, and then we'll get into fall camp in early August. And then we'll see, man. I wonder in fall camp how long it'll go. Will it be like 2 weeks, and then you dial it in, and you have like a full 2 weeks with that person running as the guy? Whoever's not the guy, just be ready, though. Just be ready. Because if you're not the starter initially, NBD to me. Like, you just wait. You're going to get in at some point. Either someone gets hurt or someone's not good enough. Injury or ineptitude. So I'm not too worried about it. But Aaron Roderick yesterday, in the conversation that we heard from Saturday, said, I said, what's the criteria for who's going to be the starter? And he said, whoever doesn't turn it over and whoever moves the team, meaning the chains and down the field for touchdowns.
How do you determine that whoever, in fall camp?
You have your reps. You have your metrics. You have your situations, I would imagine, right? Ultimately, that will be decided in the games. But, yeah, you have a lot of film on Gary Bohannon to have a sense of that. It's just, can he move you within this offense? How is he at the line? Is he changing things? Is he seeing things well?
Yeah.
Those are all the things that, some of them, that Aaron Roderick and company are going to look at. But Aaron's a bit of a quarterback whisperer with Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall, three-star guys who have got into the NFL. I'm confident he's going to figure out who the best guy is. Last year was tough. Keaton Slovis was hurt and playing through that injury. They wanted to redshirt Jake. Otherwise, they would have brought him in earlier. They felt like Keaton was good enough to play through that. But certainly you have this guy or that guy. And it's nice to have a Gary Bohannon who has experience. And in 2021, he had a tremendous year where he was starting quarterback for a very good Baylor team.
An eventual Sugar Bowl champion and Big 12 champion.
Yes, and he kind of got injured, right? And what didn't finish that out, unfortunately, at the very end there with the Big 12 title game and the Sugar Bowl. And that's where you saw a little bit of a quarterback change there with an injury. But, Gary's shown that he can be pretty good. So are these guys like top-end guys that are going to win BYU the Big 12? Right now we haven't quite seen that or they haven't shown that at the moment. But if Gary can capture some of that 2021, if Jake can learn from what the last four games of the season were, then perhaps BYU can get to a bowl game plus. Get to a bowl game is always the standard here. I'd love to feel like and seem like early in the season if BYU could be like an 8-win team. That'd be awesome. Right now I'm feeling like, okay, it's a fringe bowl team. You're maybe getting to a bowl or maybe not. But we need to see how year two of Jay Hill is. Is the running game established? That will be the best friend of whoever the starter is. Because last year, it stunk, so it fell too heavily on the quarterback's shoulders. And in the case of Keaton Slovis, he had an injured one. And in the case of Jake Retzlaff, he was a new guy. It was new to FBS, and he's talented, but that's just hard to be thrown in like that. So I think a run game and an increased defense could really make it so you're not like, hey, you have to go win us the game, Gary Bohannon or Jake Retzlaff. I'd love for them to not have to be in that situation. Yeah. Yeah, you're the quarterback. You got to be ready to do that.
Think about the caliber of teams that are coming into Provo. I mean, the over-under initially on BYU in the way too early innings was set at 4.5. Okay,
so you're talking last year or this year?
For this year. 4.5 wins.
Yay.
Bottom in the Big 12.
It was
right
last
there
year
with
too.
Houston. Okay, 4.5 wins. Yeah. My goodness. So it's fair to think that BYU is a fringe bowl team right now. Kalani Sitake says, I prefer it. That's exactly where I want people to think that we're going to go. Like, I want people to think that BYU is a 4.5 win team. But the talent of teams that are coming to Provo, I mean, you got Kansas State and Kansas and Oklahoma State. They're all in Provo. Who's the guy? Like, that's where Gary Bohannon has that experience. How much can he draw upon that, given that it was 2.5 years ago? And at the time he's playing, it'll be 3 years previous, 2021, when he was doing his
damage.
We
were asking Keaton the same thing, were we not?
Yes.
He wasn't good at Pitt. He wasn't good the year before that. We were asking him to recapture 2019.
How much can Gary draw upon something that happened 3 years ago to use to his advantage?
Don't we do this with every return missionary quarterback, though? Don't we? We say, oh, can he recapture the senior year at Maple Mountain or Corner Canyon?
It's a little different,
though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, is it? It's even harder because they haven't played like at all. Gary didn't play last year, but he was playing in 22.
Played seven games
in
2022.
We saw him against BYU. With return missionaries, by the time they actually get meaningful reps, it's been 4 years since they actually played in a meaningful game. So it's less of an ask for Gary Bohannon than it is for return missionary 2 years later after the mission.
And that's where Jake Retzlaff has a clear advantage. There has been no significant break, and now he goes into a season thinking, I'm the guy, and I'm going to prepare like I'm the guy.
Both should.
Yes. So, and by the way, he didn't turn the ball over in spring football, so Jake has that going for
him
as well, and Aaron cares a lot about
that. And
Aaron
said he was aggressive enough.
Yes.
Because you can check it down and never turn it over.
Feels like BYU's going to have to go live a lot in fall camp to just determine, to give these quarterbacks looks, like to figure out who in the heck can handle the game speed and not turn the ball over. We'll see. You run a risk, though, when you go live, but that's maybe what BYU has to do. Our question of the day, if BYU played today on April 2nd, who
That'd
would
be
you
awesome,
start?
Right?
That would be
sweet. We had a football
so
game today?
Sweet.
We're doing a pregame show?
Can there be a spring season for football?
I don't know why there's not like...
like one game?
One game. Why is there not
it's an
one
exhibition.
Real game
Other sports do it, right? Women's soccer great. Does it. Why can't BYU football? Like, football just do one game.
Hey, straight cash, homie. That's what that would produce.
Who would you start at quarterback on April 2nd? Jake Retzlaff or Gary Bohannon? Larry Chrisholm on X says, if the game were this Saturday, it would be Jake. However, if Gary learns the full offense over the summer and is very comfortable, he might get the start in the fall due to experience. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
What do you think the chances are that Gary wins it? Like, is Jake going to be the incumbent and there's not going to be that big of a difference? And so you start with Jake because he's
I think it's Jake's until Gary takes it from him. Unless
Gary would have
Gary
to have an extraordinary
him.
Fall camp perhaps to overtake. Like, because Jake finished as the guy and is here and BYU believes in him. That, like, we believe a lot in a guy who went 0-4 because that schedule was tough and there was no run game. Like, if you look straight up at just, he started, didn't win a game, you could easily go, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But because it was such a tough schedule and BYU was in a bad place with the run game and the defense was kind of tired, it's like, going to give this guy a fair shot here.
Right now, if you wanted to ask percentages, I'd say 55% it's Jake's position and Gary's 45. Now, Gary's going to have to make up a few percentage points with a nice fall camp. That is the pathway. But I think it's Jake's unless or until Gary takes it from him.
And I could see, let's say in game two against SMU, that there's like three picks in the first half. Gary's warming up on something.
Yes.
Like, it's that close.
It's that fickle.
I don't like a two-quarterback thing, but what I like more is touchdowns.
so and
just,
wins.
Just get that guy in there.
Okay.
And let's score and let's win. Let's go.
All right, again, hashtag BYUSN to join that conversation.
How many grand slams will BYU softball hit tonight? Hopefully at least one. They've been hitting a ton.
This is unbelievable.
Cougars host Utah Tech tonight, 7 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. They're like must watch right now.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill on where the Cougar defense has improved the most this spring and if they're still looking to add in the portal. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Yeah, we're coming at it in a whole different perspective, man.
I think as a whole, we should take a huge stride forward.
I want to leave everything I can on the field. After last season, I have something left to prove.
So you're going to see some major accomplishments out of this football program for the next couple years to come.
We are live at Studio B. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, who's been busy gathering elements from the end of BYU Sports.
Not as
football.
Busy as you in Frisco.
Oh,
you did
gosh.
How many interviews? Nine?
11. Yeah, and long days, fell down on the turf trying to catch a touchdown pass from a 10-year-old. Yeah.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
Experienced
it
all.
That throw was terrible. It just.
We got Steve Young to chime in on that, by the
what
way.
What did he say?
Yeah. He's like, well, because somebody said, now, Steve Young, or it was Hema Hamilu who said, Steve, we need you to chime in on this. Yeah. Was it the quarterback's fault? And he's like, well, in my defense, I had Jerry Rice, catching everything. So if I threw a bad pass like Jerry
so
would
catch
it.
You're not Jerry Rice.
I'm not Jerry Rice. Yeah. Saying it was the quarterback's fault unless you're Jerry Rice, and then you just catch everything anyway.
Jaren Hall, when he met with the Vikings, they tried to get him to, blame his receivers, and he wouldn't. He just was like, no, I got to make a better throw, blah, blah, blah. I'm blaming that kid. I'm sorry.
Watch his reaction, though. His hands go immediately to his head like, oh, no.
It's all good. One incompletion. All good. Saturday after spring ball ended, I talked to Aaron Roderick. That ended yesterday. And then defensive coordinator Jay Hill. Don't mind the intramural soccer behind us that had started. Luckily, we didn't get hit with the ball, but we looked at all kinds of conversations with position groups and transfer portal and whatnot. Here's my conversation with Jay. All right, Jay, spring ball is in the books. How do you feel it went for the defense?
Well, I think we made a lot of progression. We did a good job of filling some holes that were left from some vacated seniors. I thought the depth chart solidified itself a lot. We've got more players now ready to play game situations than I think we did last year, which is good.
At this time, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then the ownership of the defense, I think, continues to get better and better. Now, we're not there yet. Today, if you were here for practice, I was getting upset at a couple things, but that's only going to get better and better as we go, just the ownership of what we're calling and why we're calling certain things. And I think that's part of the exciting part is we got some steps to take forward still.
Does that progression with the group and what they know and how they're able to execute change how what you can call as a defensive coordinator?
It does. Yeah, for sure. The better grasp we have on the defense, the more the package can expand. If we're not handling it well, then we got to keep it a little more simplistic. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to limit us on what we can call because we don't have ownership. And that's on coaches. We got to do a good job of teaching it.
Let's walk through the position groups and what you liked and maybe who sticks out, if anybody. Defensive line.
Defensive line, you know, Tyler Batty's a guy that we know we can win with. I like Blake Mangelson and what he showed this year. Logan Latui had a really, really good spring. Banya. So that defensive end group, good. The defensive tackle group, much bigger than last year. We've added some beef in there. I think it's a great competition on how those guys are playing. John Nelson stood out to me. Tui Saili is a big, huge body that's athletic. We got to continue to just bring him along in the program. Same with David Latu. Josh Singh had a nice spring. So anyway, bottom line, I think that defensive line took a great step forward, and they're much more ready to play. They will be much better, too, with the 29 practices in fall camp.
How about the linebackers?
Linebackers, so we're still waiting on Bywater. His health is still, you know, wait and see on how he continues to progress. Same with Siali Asara. So those are some names that they'll continue to see. I thought Jack Kelly had a great camp. Now, I mean, that's easier for him just because of his familiarity with the defense and where he's coming from. Let's see, Ace Kafusi did a lot of great things. Harrison Taggart, a lot of good stuff. Miles Hall is a young guy that stepped up and did some things. Micah Kafusi. Glasker, Isaiah Glasker. So I like the progression of the group. A lot of guys got reps, and they all had their moments of showing that they can be really good players in this defense.
With Siali and Ben, will they be good for fall camp?
We're hoping they should be. Their injuries are such that they're progressing in the right manner. I'm not a doctor, but they should be for sure ready to go for the start of fall camp.
With Jack Kelly, it's hard for a guy to come in right away and be super impressive. I think he is familiar with the defense, but it seems like he's really impressed his teammates in the weight room, on the field, and otherwise.
Well, Jack, there's a reason why I wanted him here, right? I mean, I knew what kind of player he was. I knew his fit to what we were doing here at BYU would be good. So I'm excited to watch his progression. I think you'll see a very similar success that like an Eddie Heckard had last year or Cam Garrett. Those guys that came in and were familiar with what we were doing and my expectations, I thought those guys really played well last year.
Jack Kelly's a linebacker name, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that perfect for him? Yeah. And the fans are going to love him. I mean, he brings a lot of energy, a lot of juice. He fits exactly what we're trying to accomplish here at BYU, just personality-wise and person-wise and player. So I think the fans are going to love him.
Hey, let's talk secondary, starting with cornerbacks.
Corners. Love Jacob Robinson. He's progressed. He's playing as good as I've seen him play. I think he's really bought into the techniques and things that we're doing. Maury Bamba played towards the end of spring. We missed him early on. He did a lot of good things. Evan Johnson was another one that started to really stand out, made some nice plays today. So that group had a ton of injuries. And so there's a lot of guys that we're hoping really step up come fall camp, like a Marcus McKenzie, Jaden Dunlap, some of those guys, Koa Eldridge. That group, we need to get healthy.
And at safety, you weren't super healthy last year, but a lot of guys got experience. So if you throw one of like six guys in there, they played in meaningful games.
Well, so there's eight guys that I know I could throw in there and we can win a game with. What we need from that group, we need guys to start standing out. We need the cream to rise to the top. Like I say, there's a lot of guys that we can play with and win with, but we need guys to play like all conference level, and that's what we're still waiting to see who that is going to be.
And so no one stuck out in spring in terms of, yes, I would start these two, or I need more time to see?
Well, not right now. I mean, Micah Harper's still coming off an injury. He didn't go this spring. I thought Talon Alfrey played good. Ethan Slade played good. Tanner Wall played good. Those are guys that people have known about. Ones that maybe stood out that people haven't heard as much about, like a Tommy Prassis, looked really good for a freshman, true freshman. Still is not even 18 years old. He looked good. I thought Chica did a lot of great things this year. Crew Wakely's one that played a lot that didn't go through spring. So it's going to be battle royale in that group, and I'm excited to see it because I get to coach those guys. And the thing about those guys, they're phenomenal guys that will give everything they got.
Is there any positions you need to target in the transfer portal in your mind?
No, nothing we have to target. Now, if there's a difference maker that's available, then we'll look hard at that fit into what we're doing, but nothing we have to target.
Listen, all of you look great in blue, but Gary Anderson looks great with the BYU logo out there. What role is he playing, and what's it been like to have Gary out here?
So he's acting as a consultant. I think he's great for me. He's great for Kalani to have around. It's one more veteran guy that's been there, done that. He's been around huge programs. He's been in huge games. He's called defenses in huge games. He's been a head coach in huge games. So anyway, it's just one more guy that we can bounce ideas off. And the players respect the heck out of him and love having him around.
As of this conversation, we know some of the pro day results from Thursday, not Saturday. But what did you think of some of your guys Thursday in Dallas?
Well, you know what? I've seen the results. I haven't talked to the players yet, just in fairness to them and what they're trying to accomplish out there. I don't want to be a distraction to them. But I heard Cam Garrett ran really good. I know one thing. There's six or seven defenders. Cam Garrett, Eddie Hecker, Max Tooley, Nice Amahe, Jackson Cravens, A.J. Vaughn Pichong. I mean, there's a bunch of guys given the right opportunity that can make NFL rosters. I hope they get those chances, and you just never quite know how it goes. But I've heard good things coming out of Dallas.
Well, thanks for the time, Jay, and enjoy the offseason. Yeah, right, yeah. There's no offseason.
And no offseason for us. So, anyway, thank you. Appreciate it.
A lot of familiar names there. You look at some of the numbers of note. Yards per point, 83rd. Yards per play, 92nd. Points per play, 93rd. This is all allowed, of course. SP plus, defense, 94th. There is room for improvement. In year one, I felt like the first 6 to 8 games, BYU was playing some pretty good defense. Kind of slid off at the end as the schedule not only got harder, but BYU got a little more injured. So obviously you need more depth, but you need more quality. And again, I think we've got the men's basketball principle of continuity at play here. Is in year 200, Jay Hill, can they
bring
get
the core
into the
back
top 65 in some of these numbers? And then that gives you another game win probably somewhere. And now you're in a bowl game if you can maintain what you did on offense, which wasn't that good, let's be honest. So hopefully BYU can be a 7-plus win team, if not 8. If BYU got to 8, that would exceed expectations this year. Maybe 7 even does, but defensively they have some work to do as well.
Can they channel the BYU basketball method? Bringing the core back, you take a significant step forward. I'm not asking BYU football to finish in the top 5 in a 16-team conference.
I'd love to be,
but
like
top half?
Ninth?
Top half,
eighth,
like
ninth.
Eighth would be incredible, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if we're talking about league standings or just overall record, but I'll take 6 wins, and I'd be fine with 3-6 in league.
In
if you
league?
Went 3-0 in non-conference, like,
see, and that's tough because, like, SMU is going to be a good team, and
yeah,
Wyoming's no pushover, especially in Laramie. So BYU might have to win 4 conference games to get bowl eligible. And they won 2 last year, which, I mean,
double
you're doubling the win total in conference.
If you missed any of our spring football coverage or Big 12 Pro Day coverage, you can catch it all on demand on BYUSN.com and our YouTube page.
Up next, which former BYU basketball player would have qualified as the best NFL player? Okay, food for thought. And what is the best matchup in the Final Four of men's and women's college basketball? Man, hard to root against Caitlin Clark here. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's get to your Tuesday headlines.
Softball hosts Utah Tech tonight. Miller Park, 7 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Exciting times at Miller Park. Got to go check out BYU. They were fantastic. Cougars won at St. George last week, 9-1 against Utah Tech in 5 innings. I also love the 8-run rule in softball. You could have a game that's a buck 15. You're like, dude, took care of business. We out.
Getting paid the same either way. BYU men's volleyball moves up one spot to number 6 in this week's ABCA poll after 2 home sweeps of Concordia Irvine last week. The Cougars will close out the regular season at USC this weekend.
Women's track and field jumped 18 spots. Hey-o! In this week's USTFCCCA poll from 22 to 4. How about that? This was the first week any of the distance runners competed for BYU. That's why. And the men's team, number 19 in the poll. Both top 20, nice. Both teams will compete at three different meets again this weekend.
BYU women's tennis jumps up 15 spots, rather, to number 36 in this week's ITA rankings after besting number 31 Baylor and number 54 TCU last week. Great week for the Cougars. We'll chat with Bobo Huang and Maddie Smith in the next segment.
And former golfer Peter Quest for Perfection qualified for the Texas Valero Open thanks to winning a playoff yesterday. He sank a 25-foot birdie putt to qualify for this weekend's tournament. Very nice from Peter.
He is the true Quest for Perfection.
Thank goodness we didn't
Tour.
Do that on the jerseys. That was so weird.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
March Madness on the women's side, the Final Four set. UConn and Iowa advanced last night. What's the best Final Four matchup, men or women's?
It's on the women's side, and it's
Amen.
Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers.
Yes, it is. I can't wait to watch the play.
Super fun. Last night's game was awesome.
I watched the whole Iowa-LSU game. It was so entertaining.
You know why?
It was great.
The women's game, people's like, why is the women's game growing so much? It's cool. You have legitimate
show it on TV.
Bona fide superstars.
Yes.
And you got some villains. Like there were people on both sides that were like, I can't stand Angel Reese and I can't stand Caitlin Clark. Like there is it's so compelling. Like
Kim Mulkey's very polarizing.
Yes, stars and villains. Yeah. Stars and villains.
Yeah, it's fun. And honestly, if you show it, they will watch it. Like, if you build it, they will come. I really believe that. You and I have been calling women's sports on BYU TV and now ESPN Plus for a while now. If you show them, they will be seen. And so we advocate for this.
I know NC State on the men's side is like a true Cinderella, and they're doing something straight out of Valvano's book in 1983.
Literally.
It's crazy.
Without NBA players, by the way.
But they're a...
NC State had NBA players in 83. I mean, they don't really on this team.
They're a heavy underdog, just like Alabama is against UConn. Now, I owe UConn on the women's side.
That's going to be fun.
Super close.
South Carolina hasn't lost. They're still undefeated. Let's go.
NC State star, speaking of the Wolfpack on the men's side, DJ Burns has reportedly received some interest from NFL teams as a result of his play in the NCAA tournament.
That's amazing.
He is a big human being. Which former BYU basketball player would have been the best NFL player not named Kafusi?
What if I told you there was a walk-on on the practice squad for BYU basketball who did play in the NFL?
Who is that?
Jordan Cameron.
Indeed it is.
Jordan Cameron, Matt Leinart's, I think, brother-in-law or something? Something like that. Anyways, he transfers to USC and plays football, and then he plays for the Browns and Dolphins. Caught 15 passes in six
Which
years
is
in
wild.
The NFL. This already happened! I would love to see Trey Stewart at corner right now, by the way.
Super athletic, yes.
Just, like, I think his lateral movement.
Yes.
I think he'd play corner.
Great agility, super.
JT got a little tease with the Panthers of a tryout at tight end, but... You know, who knows?
So, Jordan Cameron, great answer. For me, it's Caleb Lohner, Jerem. Caleb Lohner would have been outstanding as a tight end or a defensive end. Like that just with his size and his raw athleticism and having the footwork and the hands that come with being a basketball player, like Caleb Lohner would have been the guy for me. Like, put him over into football, give him a go in an NFL camp.
West Virginia and Oklahoma State each hired new coaches in men's basketball. Drake head coach Darian DeVries at West Virginia, Oklahoma State hired Western Kentucky head coach Steve Lutz. What do you make of these two hires?
Well, we'll see. Drake is a great basketball program for sure. And I mean, Western Kentucky did some nice things as well. So I think that they're good for the respective programs. The funny thing is this conference is just loaded with megastar coaches. So it's like, hey, welcome. Take your seat in the back of the line.
Yeah, get back there.
Get in the back of the line.
Yeah,
okay. Sure. No, this is good. West Virginia needs some stability.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that them getting a guy that comes from a program like Drake will help them immensely.
Drake went to three of the last four tourneys. Saw them in Omaha, by the way. They played Washington State later. He's bringing his son Tucker with him, who averaged 21 a game and shot 36% from three, like a 6'6 shooter. He's a good player, man. And then Lutz has gone to the dance 3 years in a row with two different programs. Texas A&M Corpus Christi as well. So
it's super impressive.
Good hires. Excited to meet him at Big 12 media.
Different beast in the Big 12, for sure. Carson Wentz, back to the NFL we go. Former NFL quarterback and number 2 overall draft pick. Sound familiar?
Yeah, wait a minute.
signs with the Kansas City Chiefs as the backup quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. So the Jets miss another potential landing spot in their attempts to trade Zach Wilson. How does this affect Zach moving forward?
Are they attempting to trade him? I think there's a chance that he doesn't get traded at all with the Jets. If Justin Fields went for, what, a sixth, and he was an actual, like, bona fide starter-ish, I don't know that Zach's going to get traded at all. We'll see. Like, maybe he is, but some of the better landing spots seem to have been taken already.
I want him to go to Atlanta. Follow Kirk Cousins. Like, the Falcons feel like a great landing spot for Zach Wilson. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, unbelievably, he's going to remain with the New York Jets at this point because they're not going to get what they want for him. Like, they're not going to get what they want for him.
No one's giving a seventh up for Zach right now, I don't think. It's just, if Justin Fields as a sixth was sort of set the market there a little bit.
All right.
Connor Mance is preparing for no air conditioning in the Olympic Village in Paris by going into a sauna every day. Do you think Jimmer is prepared for this?
Jimmer is prepared for everything. Yes, Jimmer is prepared, and he will do whatever it takes to get ready for the heat of 3x3 basketball. Like, or can you just, like, are you allowed? Is there, like, a mandate? Do you have to stay in the Olympic Village, or are you allowed exceptions?
Good question. I don't know the answer.
I don't know either.
Are you obligated? Like, did the millionaire redeem team stay in the Olympic Village? Team stay in the Olympic Village?
Like, can Jimmer Fredette, because he's got connections everywhere, like, he could probably call a few friends and be like, I'd like to stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Paris. And they're like, okay.
How does it work? You got some big names there, especially, like, is LeBron going to have no AC this summer?
I just don't buy it. Like, I don't think they're staying there. I don't think they're staying there.
You can opt out. You're just in your own Airbnb somewhere. How's that going to work?
We'll see. Maybe there's a mandate, and maybe there are people breaking the rules and not staying in the Olympic Village.
No one's broken the rules ever in the Olympics.
Up next, after two big wins over ranked teams last week, BYU women's tennis stars Bubba Huang and Maddie Smith are hanging out with us in Studio B. What's allowed this team to go next level? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. We have moved over to the interview portion of the set, the Cougar Council Room, if you will.
Jared. Someone on Saturday came up to me at a volleyball match. They said, hey, we went to the studio. We went to the Cougar Council Room. I was like, oh, man, it's sticking.
Unfortunately, I apologize.
It's a fun name.
That it is a thing, but it is a thing. Hey, Cougar Council Room or not, we've got some bona fide stars with this. Representing BYU women's tennis, coming off an outstanding week, including wins over Baylor and TCU, both ranked teams of BYU women's tennis, Bobo Huang and Maddie Smith. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
How are we doing?
Thank you. Thank good.
You guys still coming down from the high of the wins over the weekend?
Yep. We're hype. Yeah. We're excited. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Okay, Maddie, what does Bobo do when she is hype, okay? Because she's super low-key. Like, does she lose her mind in the locker room ever?
I do.
Bobo gets pretty loud. Yeah, she
does. I love that. What about you? What's next level, Maddie? Like, how do you celebrate a win like that?
You tell me, Bobo.
She's pretty loud
I'm
on
pretty
the court.
Loud on the court,
as you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, you guys are up into the top 40 now. In tennis rank, and you beat Baylor and TCU. Those are good wins. Huge, matches coming up against Oklahoma and Texas. What's it been like in the Big 12 this year, Bubba?
I mean, it was super exciting last weekend that we were able to pull that win. I think, I don't even know how Maddie did that, but I think I was just really happy that I get to be a part of that. And it's been really fun playing in the Big 12. I mean, it's our first year in the conference, and we started from no ranking to now ranked 31 in
Let's
the country.
Go. That's amazing.
So it's been really exciting. It's just been a team effort. Everyone on the team was on board of that, and we're excited. Yeah.
Maddie, what has allowed, or I guess paved the way for BYU women's tennis to do this? Because it is notable. I mean, you've had some transcendent victories this season. So what goes into that? Everyone's trying to find the magic formula to do what you're doing. So what's in there?
Honestly, I think that we're a special team. I think we have such a great culture that other teams don't have, and I think that's what sets us apart. And obviously our coaches are amazing, and our mental trainer, Maddie Gates, she's incredible, and I feel like she's helped us a ton this year, get us, you know, mentally in the right place. And I think every match we're just getting so much better, and yeah, you can tell from our season already.
Of course, Maddie likes Maddie. Come on now. Now, you mentioned the coaching staff. Your sister Gabby is one of the assistant coaches.
Yeah.
What are the best things about that? And then is it ever like sister rivalry moments with her?
Gabby's always kind of been a coach to me in a way. She's 7 years older than me, so, and she's an incredible tennis player. So I've always learned from her. And sometimes, you know, I can be a little sassy and she takes it, but she puts me back in my place. But we have a good time, and I honestly couldn't imagine a better time. Like, she's the best coach, and I love having my sister there.
She did it for free for a long time. Now she's getting paid to coach.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes. That's
it's good. Yeah. She needs to get paid to handle that sass.
I know. She does.
That's another $10 bonus.
Gabby's in studio. Put that in your LinkedIn. Handles sass well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's worth the raise for sure. Yeah. Bobo, how do you maintain? Because you're on an emotional high right now, and now you welcome in a couple of top 25 teams, or at least you take on a couple of top 25 teams. So what's the key to maintaining this current high level of play?
I feel like just doing what we've been doing, and as like just like Maddie said, our team culture this year has been really special for me, and I feel like we really had an opportunity to figure out who we are, and I think we really show them who we are, and we're excited for this coming matches.
BYU probably has the most bilingual campus in America.
Yeah.
You're from China, you speak Mandarin and Cantonese, and English, of course. How many Mandarin and Cantonese speakers have you run into on campus of these missionaries who maybe went and learned the language?
Not a lot, honestly.
Come on, BYU!
But we used to have, I mean, we have two girls that speak Mandarin on the team, which is
that's
nice.
Awesome.
So.
Do you trash talk in Mandarin?
Sometimes.
What would that sound like? What would you say to people?
I don't know. Like,
it's awesome because they when they play doubles on the court and stuff, they can talk to each other during the point and other people won't understand it.
Yeah.
And it's like in English, you could be like, go line and telling them literally where you're going to go.
Strategy,
but the other team doesn't know because they're speaking in Chinese. It's awesome.
That's amazing.
that is fantastic. Okay, we already pushed forward. You got, again, two top 25 teams, but not just any top 25 teams. You're at number 23, Oklahoma, and at number 8, Texas. They're both leaving. So what type of added motivation do you feel knowing that, hey, this could be the last time we see these teams for a while? Maddie, how do you approach them in their Big 12 finale tour and you're playing there?
I'm just excited, you know, and this is their last year in the Big 12 and we're ready just to, I don't want to say kick them out, but like, we want to beat them. So.
Want to win, yeah.
Yeah, we're excited.
What's the next couple of weeks look like in terms of, you know, regular season and Big 12 championships and NCAAs and whatnot?
We have, we are towards the end of the season right now. We are excited. We have a couple of tough teams that are coming up, Oklahoma, Texas. We are super excited about that, and I think we are ready. We're well prepared, and we are ready to finish strong here.
And Big 12 championships in Stillwater coming up at the end of the month. And then if you do well there, what's it going to take to get into the NCAAs?
Doing well there. Yeah. And then just keep pushing forward, keep motivating ourselves and, you know, looking for the future in that tournament.
The top what make the NCAAs in singles?
The top 30?
Top 32.
Yeah.
Team
okay.
for the
okay.
teams.
Top 32.
And right now you're 31, so you're kind of in that spot. Let's go.
And Bobo, in doubles, I mean, you've been there. Like, you've done this. You went to the NCAA championships, and in that time, that was something very, very special. So, what are you telling your teammates, knowing what that is like and the pressure of that?
I just tell them it's super fun to compete in such a stage. And I honestly, I'm just can't wait to get back in that, back in that tournament again.
Yeah.
You work all year for that. When Jimmer Fredette signed with the Shanghai Sharks, I looked up in Mandarin how to say pass me the ball, because that I thought that's all he would need to know. But... Bacio Gewo.
That's good.
That's good?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I feel so validated.
That's really good.
Yeah. Pass me the ball, is that what that is?
Yep.
Okay. That's all you need. That's all he needed.
We've been saying that for like a decade.
I've never asked anybody.
Bacio Gewo.
Bacio Gewo. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay, I want to finish with this, Maddie. And not to, I mean, obviously both of you have accomplished great things, but like the pressure that you had to handle in your singles match, mm-hmm. knowing what was on the line just last week, how do you handle that? Maybe it's a mental cue from Maddie Gates or something. Like, what are you telling yourself in those pressure-packed points?
Was it 3-3 with
yes.
you the setting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's watching. Yeah. You know what's on the line.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I honestly, yeah, a lot of it comes from Maddie Gates and just being able to focus on the present and not think about the outcome. And that was honestly a huge thing for me. You know, I saw all my teammates lining up on the court next to me, and I was like, oh, crap, it's coming down to me. And I was, you know, starting to feel all the nerves, but I knew that I could do it. And I just, Holly was on the court with me, and she was just not letting me, like, get nervous or drift in any way. She was like, you got this, you got this, every point, like, stay in it, you know. So I think that helped me out a lot, Holly on the court. And yeah, just being super focused and not letting up, yeah, that's what helped me get the win. So.
Love that. Okay, to close out very quickly, favorite professional women's tennis player, who is it? Bobo, who do you think?
Serena Williams.
Okay. Nice. that's a fantastic choice.
Mine's probably Swiatek.
Okay.
Yes.
I like her too.
She's there you awesome. Go.
Such a fun sport to watch. Yeah. Come watch BYU Women's Tennis. I know they're on the road this week, but when you come home.
You got like, what, Cincinnati and yeah. West Virginia yes. next weekend?
Come watch this
yep,
outstanding
Thursday
team.
And Saturday.
Men's and women's tennis yeah. For yeah. that matter.
Yeah,
both on the rise, both playing super Love well.
It. Thanks for coming Same. In.
Thank you.
All
Thank
the
you
good
so
karma
much.
We can give you to go
Cougs. Go Cougs.
Yes, go Cougs indeed.
Bacio Gewo.
Up next, this week's Top 5 Tuesday, incredibly, features the 5 best Grand Slams for BYU softball this season. They have 7.
We had to eliminate 2.
They have 7 this season.
They're awesome.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
It is time for Top 5 Tuesday, featuring the top 5 Grand Slams of the BYU softball season, and it's a softball game day. It all fits perfectly, Jeremy. There have been 7. We had to eliminate 2.
Yes, we did, and it's presented by eAssist Dental Health Foundation, reminding you dental clinics are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org. Number 5, Violet Zavodnik against Bethune-Cookman, February 22nd. BYU up 3-0 in the second inning. 2-0 count. Clears the bases. 7-run lead. First Grand Slam of the season. Zavodnik's Grand Slam this season, the one. BYU beat Bethune-Cookman 18-5.
Number 4, BYU and Texas Tech tied at 6 in the bottom of the 6th inning. Maddie Udall up to bat with the bases loaded. And on the 9th pitch of the at-bat, all it takes is one swing. Give it a listen.
Another 2-2. Udall! Pop fly, left center field, fading back at the wall. Gone! Grand Slam! Maddie Udall! 10-6 BYU!
Cougars hold on for their first ever Big 12 victory in that game.
Number 3, Hunter Ava versus number 4, Oklahoma State on March 22nd. 2 walks and a single to start the inning. And she launched the first pitch she saw.
So the right side of the infield plays up. There's a ball driven. Deep and gone! A grand slam for BYU! The bats have finally woken up!
Get out the rye bread and mustard, Grandma! BYU's 5th grand slam of the season. Of a second of the year, 4-0 lead. First of 2 grand slams in that game.
Yeah, at number 2, Haley Morrow against 4th-ranked Oklahoma State. 2 innings after the grand slam you just saw from Ava, Morrow with BYU leading 5-2 in the bottom of the 3rd, bases loaded, and you know what happens next.
In the bottom of the 3rd, there's a line drive, no doubter! Another grand slam! BYU pouring it on!
Outstanding. BYU beats the number 4 Cowgirls that night.
And number 1, Hunter Ava versus Houston. This happened last week, March 29th. BYU trailed 8-0 after the top of the 1st. 15-13 now in the bottom of the 9th. Ava to the plate. Bases loaded.
Wild.
The walk-off winner.
1-1 pitch. And that ball crushed over the head. And it's a grand slam!
It was their first ever series win in the Big 12.
Big time. Big time hit.
Against Utah Tech tonight.
Darnell Dixon in Smithfield.
All right, our question of the day. If BYU played today, on to BYU football we go. Who would start at quarterback, Jake Retzlaff or Gary Bohannon? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated from Matt Brown on Instagram, who says, today, Retzlaff, but I hope it's Bohannon by default to replicate his precious Power 5 production. Okay. Okay. Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Peter Quest for qualifying thanks to that 25-foot birdie yesterday for the Texas Valero Open.
Good for Peter. Our thanks to today's guests, Jay Hill, Bobo Huang, and Maddie Smith.
Sorry, Dennis, no time.
For Jeremiah, so it's a shout out to Patrick Fishburne. We'll see you for BYUSN tomorrow and softball tonight on ESPN+.